You know, there's a lot of things in our culture that are contrary. That's not a big surprise. That are contrary to the word. In fact, almost everything in our culture. Because most things of the world, if not everything of the world, is in direct opposition to the things of the word of God. The world always opposes the things of the word. There's a lot of times that we get frustrated because we don't see the power of God moving. There's a lot of times we get frustrated and disappointed or dissatisfied because, you know, we stand and we pray and we don't see things happening that we're praying for. Part of the problem is we live in a world and a culture that is so given over to the things of the world, to the things of the natural flesh. It's so given over to those things, and we're so surrounded by it that we don't realize how it influences us. And we don't realize how it influences our thought processes and how it influences our faith. Because everything of the world is contrary to the things of the Word. Everything of the world is designed by the one who's the prince of this world, is designed to take your eyes off of Jesus Christ, to erode your faith, to cause you to trip up and stumble. That's what the world does. And so if we're frustrated with the things of the world, and we're frustrated that we don't see the things of the Word working, and we're frustrated because the world does seem to be working, or seems to be working to our disadvantage and against us, and contrary to the Word, we need to ask ourselves, how much are we allowing ourselves to be influenced by the things of the world? Because I don't think we stop to realize the power and the influence that we have. And we're so surrounded by things, and they become so second nature, and they become so acceptable to us. We don't realize the influence that we've brought into our world, into our lives, into our thoughts, into our very soul. The things of the world are contrary to the things of God, and they will work against the Word in your life. I'm going to look at what James tells us. This is James chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 13 through 18. I'm going to read this from the King James Bible. And then we'll look at it to some degree in the Amplified Bible, because it does give us an idea. I think when we read some of these things, I think like everything in the Word, we've read it, we've heard it before. And since we've already read it and we've already heard it, sometimes we gloss over because we've read it so many times before. But I want you to listen to the words that are being said. And think about how have these things filtered into our lives and our way of thinking as well. James chapter 3, verse number 13 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his words with meekness of wisdom. But if you have a bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy, to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Now, that's a whole lot of words. And in the King James, it's a whole lot of words that sound really good rolling off the tongue, but sometimes we think, okay, yeah, but what does that really mean to me and to my life? Well, let's read those again and look at them from the Amplified Bible. And hear what this is saying about us. And think about our culture and think about the things. Think about the door that I've opened up in my life. Think about the door I've opened up to allow the things of this culture and the things of this world to permeate and affect my way of thinking and my way of acting. So verse number 13 says in James chapter 3, "Who is there among you who is wise and intelligent?" So the question that he starts off with here in this portion of the scriptures, James is saying, who of you wants to be wise and who of you wants to be intelligent? How many of us feel like when it comes to the things of the world, things are happening so fast, things are changing at lightning speed. I mean, most of us have a hard time keeping up with technology, let alone with just all the different things that are changing in our culture. How many of us don't feel like we're all that smart? How many of us don't feel as intelligent as we should? Now, you might think that you have intelligence, but it's hard to keep up with the things of the world. Information is so fast. It all comes at lightning speed. How many of us would say, you know, I want to be wise. I want to be intelligent. I want to have wisdom. This is the question that's being posed. And so if you want to and you strive for wisdom and intelligence, okay, these are verses that we should consider. Who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? All right, so then he goes and says, this is what this looks like. Then let him, by his noble living, show forth his good works with the unobtrusive humility, which is the proper attire of true wisdom. I would say most of us would. How many times have you asked for prayer for wisdom? Wisdom in a situation. How many times have you asked someone else, hey, just pray for me. I need guidance. I need wisdom. I need direction in a certain situation. What you're saying is you're looking for the Lord's direction. You're looking for that godly intelligence. You're looking for that godly direction, that godly wisdom. You don't want to make the same mistakes you've made in life in the past. You don't want to fall by the wayside and make the mistakes of being influenced by the world. You don't want the world to influence. You want the Word of God. You want God Himself to direct you. Because you know if you follow God, there's going to be good things at the end of that pathway for you. So whatever you're faced with, we always ask for wisdom. Well, here's James, and he's telling us, if you want to have wisdom, if you want to have that intelligence, that is the intelligence not of man, but the intelligence of God, the intellect that comes only from Him, if this is what you strive for, then these should be the characteristics. This is the nature of the person who is walking in, achieving, growing in, and understanding things of this world with the wisdom of the Word. Again, he says, if you want to be wise, if you want that wisdom of God, if that's what you're praying for and asking for, then we need to be noble. Live lives that show forth our good works with unobtrusive humility. Now, you wouldn't stop to think that good works is going to do anything to help us influence. But what James is saying here is the person who lives not for himself, the person who is living for others, the person who is not thinking about himself. If I'm spending so much time worried about and seeking God, and it's good for us, don't misunderstand me, it's good for us to seek the wisdom of God in the things of our daily life. We need to reach out and grab hold of that wisdom. We need that wisdom to guide us. That's a good thing. But what happens is because our culture, because we've been trained from the time we've been raised up as little kids, we've been trained to think about ourselves and to be concerned about the problems that are facing us and to be concerned only about the things that touch our lives. That's the main priority. You think about yourself. You take care of your problems. You work out those things. Then maybe you can focus on someone else's problems. And that is contrary to the Word of God. It's contrary to the nature of God. It's contrary to the nature of one who is a disciple, one who is truly following after Jesus Christ. Now again, don't misunderstand me. It's good for us to obtain, to seek after and obtain the wisdom of God. We should. To obtain the wisdom of God in the things in our life. But I will tell you that if you're seeking godly wisdom for someone else, if you're praying because you know somebody is struggling and you don't have the answers for them, you don't know how to get them there, but you are praying for godly wisdom. You're praying for insight. You're lifting them up, and you're praying that God shows them, or that God shows you, that somehow the wisdom of God is imparted to us so that we can help that person come out of that situation and walk in victory. This is what God desires. This is the wisdom. This is where wisdom comes. When we're looking at someone else, when we're praying and thinking about someone else, when we're seeking wisdom for someone else, guess what? We become wise ourselves because we are then plugged into the very nature and the heart of God, which is think not about yourself first, but think about others. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in all things, consider others better than yourself. This is the nature of God. This is the nature that Jesus demonstrated. If you're looking and seeking and you want to be wise, in other words, you want the wisdom of God to direct your life. If you're tired of the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of your own experiences, which if the wisdom of your own experiences is anything like mine, it always leads me down the wrong path. It always leads me down to more troubles, more anxiety, more stress, not less. When I can take my focus off of myself and my own problems, this is noble. That's the noble heart that is the heart after God. When I can take my focus off my own problems and look to help someone else and seek God on behalf of someone else, how can I help this person solve their issues, solve their problems? When that's what we're led to, when that's the desire of our heart, when that's what we seek, we're going to get the wisdom and the insights to help that person accomplish the victory that they're searching for, the wisdom and direction that they need to be an overcomer. But the beauty of it is we've tapped into the wisdom of God, and we're going to walk in and experience that wisdom in our own lives as well. But it comes when we're seeking first for others. Who is there among you who wants to be wise and intelligent? Then let him, by his noble living, show forth his good works with the unobtrusive humility. See, this is the humbleness of Jesus Christ. This is the humbleness, this is the nature of humility that is expected. It's expected from you and I. When it talks about good works, it doesn't mean that your good works, it doesn't mean that your efforts, it doesn't mean that you can in any way strive to in any way be worthy or earn the wisdom of God. But when you have a noble heart, a heart that is humble, that means you've got a heart that is seeking first for others and not as concerned for yourself. That's contrary to this world. It's contrary to the culture. It's contrary to the way that we've been trained. Everything teaches us to think first about ourselves. And it's the diametrically opposed truth to the Word of God. Humility says, seek first to help others. Seek the wisdom, the guidance, the direction for others. That's humility. And that is a good work. Now, that good work is not what rewards, but it paves the way and opens the door. It says, it brings you to the place of acting in humility, not in selfishness, not in self-centeredness, which is, unfortunately, at the center of most of our lives, at the center of most of our existence, is concerns and worries about self. Take your worries off yourself. What are your problems today? What are the things that you're struggling with? What are the things that you just can't seem to overcome? What are the things that you seem to have no wisdom? You can't hear from God. You try, but you're not hearing from God. You're seeking. You want his wisdom. You want to know what he wants you to do. You want to know the direction so you can walk in victory and not be overcome, but be an overcomer. This is what you desire, but you're not hearing from God. And you struggle. You get up every day, and you're struggling with the same problems. They won't go away, and you can't get victory over them. If that's the case, step one would be stop worrying about yourself. Stop worrying about your situation. Stop trying to work it out and solve it for yourself. Take your eyes off of your problem. I know it's hard to do. It takes great discipline, but you can do it. Jesus wouldn't ask us to do something that would be impossible for us to do without him. We just have to be determined and make that determination, make that decision, be decisive and say, I am not going to be centered on my problem. I am not going to be focused on my problem today. I was focused yesterday and I was focused last week. I was focused on my problems, on my concerns. I'm not going to be that way today. Today, I'm going to be looking to see how I can help other people solve their problems. When you do this, this is the noble heart of humility. This is the very nature of God being demonstrated through us, and God will give you the wisdom for those other people, but you will find that you're then tapped into that wisdom and you've got wisdom for your own life. And you'll actually see when you start taking care of the needs of other people, you will see that God is taking care of your needs. I've said this before, but it bears repeating in this situation. The very first time that I ever heard God speak to me directly when I knew it was God speaking to me, and this is probably pretty close to 30 years ago, I remember where I was. I remember what it felt like. I remember everything about that moment. And this is what God said to me. He said, Todd, as you take care of the needs of others, I will take care of your needs. That sounds rather simple. But I've tried to really base all that I do on that principle. Now, it's not easy to remember that all the time. And you know what? The flesh of Todd gets in the way, and the flesh of Todd says, gets concerned about, you know, the matters, the problems, the concerns that face me. And it's easy to focus on those things. I know how easy it is. I get lost in my own problems sometimes as well. But I'm saying I've experienced and I've seen the answer. It doesn't mean I always walk in that direction, but I understand the answer. And this is what James is trying to tell us here in chapter 3, verse number 13. He's saying the noble heart, that heart that is noble before God, is the one that is humble. In other words, seeking after, meeting the needs of others. Seeking first, not yourself, but seeking after others. And when you seek after others, God will take care of your needs. I applied that when God said that to me. I applied that to my life. And I found that because there's always problems in life, as long as we live in this world, there's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be struggles. There's always going to be things that look impossible. There's always going to be things that are attempting to depress and discourage you. There will always be these things in our lives. But the more that I wrestle with them and the more that I try to overcome them, the more that I try to make a good positive resolution out of that, the more I just get in the way and the more I complicated it. But when I remember those words that God spoke to me, I remember those words that the Holy Spirit spoke into my very soul when he said, Todd, you take care of the needs of others and I will take care of your needs. And if I take my focus off of my problems and I look around, and you know what? It doesn't take much looking. You don't have to look very far to find people in your life that have problems that are beating them down, that are overwhelming them, and they feel like they're going to be washed away by the discouragement, by the depression, by the hopelessness of this world. You don't have to look very far to find people who need encouragement and need strength. And when I take my focus off my own problems and I look at someone else around me and I help them, I strive to give them the word of encouragement, or I do whatever I can do physically to help them meet that need. When I'm taking care of the needs of others, I take my focus off my own problems, and God resolves those things. When I'm not looking because I'm doing something for somebody else, he's then free to move in my life and take care of those things that I had such a hold on, a firm grip upon. He couldn't do anything because I wouldn't let it go. I was trying to work it out myself. But when I let it go and help someone else succeed, I find that God has brought success in my life. Who is there amongst you who is wise and intelligent? Do you want to be wise? Do you want the intelligence, the wisdom, the intellect of God, the wisdom, the direction of God? Then let him, by his noble living, show forth his good works. If I'm living a noble heart, thinking after others, the result of that is not going to be that my good works do something, but if I've got a noble heart, my noble heart means it's going to lead me to do good works. The good works don't bring me into the presence of God. It's because I'm in the presence of God and looking towards him that I do good works. It's not a cause that takes me to God. It's an end. It's a means. The good works is a result of my seeking after God. Who is there amongst you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him by his noble living show forth his good works with unobtrusive humility. I haven't even talked about unobtrusive. Which is the proper attribute of true wisdom. Unobtrusive humility is the true attribute of wisdom. We can look at the rest of those verses again tomorrow, but I want you to see, and I hope that you do see, that God does have keys to wisdom, and everything in the world is contrary. So when the world tells you, think about yourself, you work out your problems, focus on yourself, do the exact opposite. Focus on someone else, and then watch what God does. And again, if you're feeling like you're not hearing from God, and you're not experiencing his wisdom and his direction and his guidance, if it feels like he's far away, then probably you need to have application of that unobtrusive humility. In other words, think of others first and then watch what God does in your life.